Hey, everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody.
What a good day.
Yeah.
You know, the weather is not as great as it has been, but
no,
it's still good.
Yeah, and it got, you know what, the rain's clearing up a little bit today, and it's still chilly.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's not as bad.
It's not as bad as it's been.
It wasn't as good as it was yesterday.
I got a picture from my daughter. They're in Utah.
Oh, wow.
And they have, like, yesterday, I think they got, like, 15 or 16 inches of snow.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I texted her a picture of the 80-degree temperature thermostat.
Oh.
Apologized a little bit. Said, sorry, but not. Sorry.
Not really. Yeah, I went to at an appointment yesterday about 1:15, called it a day after the appointment, came home, and washed the bike, and, you know, went through it. I got it. I washed it well.
Yeah.
You know, and took the saddlebags off and washed it, you know, backside of the saddlebags and the fenders.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
everything
yeah.
like that. Took some Scotch-Brite, got some road dust off the wheels, you know.
I probably should try that.
I need to. Now, when you get ready, I got a guy that details, and he comes to you.
Yeah, I need that.
He's a Christian guy.
I need his name.
You know, yeah, I'll give it to you.
Good All dude. Right, so Good dude. We're going to keep the parable theme going,
mm-hmm.
right? So we did the talents mm-hmm. recently. We did the plank in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one we did? Do you remember?
I don't know. It was, what, 4 weeks ago? 5 weeks ago? Mm. What was the other one? Telling that. It was, oh! Wait. What's the one right before talent? Plank in the eye.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Anyway, yeah. We're doing a new one today.
We're doing a new one today. So today we're going to do the parable of the weeds.
Yeah.
And this is a good one. This mm-hmm. is, I we'll go through it, but one time I started writing a sermon about it, and I completely missed the mark. So you've never heard that sermon.
Okay.
but we'll talk about that.
Talk about the sermon or what you missed?
Well, it, probably all of it, to be honest with you. Because, you know, I wrote it. Sometimes when you write a sermon, well, not even sometimes. I think always when you write a sermon, it's taking kind of what's going on in your life at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And I agree.
In my life at that moment, it wasn't a great place. Right? We all have seasons.
Yeah. Right?
And so exactly. When I was writing it, I was writing it more like, in defense of something.
Oh.
Right? Like, you dirty little.
Yeah.
Right, people. You're the weeds.
Right. I got you.
You know, and like I'm sure you do too, when I wrote it, I like to sit on it and pray about mm-hmm. it, think about it. And I think, like, you know, like 4 days after I wrote it, I read it again, and I'm like, you're such an idiot.
Redo.
Yeah. Like, just throw this away.
Yeah, I've done that several times. Yeah. Writing a sermon and then go, nope, that's not going to work.
Yeah. So let me read it real quick.
Okay, go
ahead. Parable of the Weeds. I'm going to read it out of the NIV version.
Okay. Right?
And so we're going to do Matthew 13, start at verse 24.
Okay.
And it says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servant asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it to your barn. That's it, right?
Yep, yeah. That's it.
That's it. So, 24 to 30,
mm-hmm.
chapter 13. So, when I read this, originally, I was like, get rid of them weeds.
Yeah.
But I'm just as bad as the weeds.
Well, okay, so I'm an old farm boy from Southeast Missouri. And where I'm from, it's as flat as this table right here.
Yeah.
And if you were to take a 5-gallon bucket of dirt and put it out there and then put some Monopoly houses out every now and again. That looked like a Google satellite view of where I come from.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's that flat, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we get, you know, springtime, we do our planning, and you know, we disc up the field from the wintertime, you know, and we'll run a cultivator over it or a do-all or, you know, whatever to get the ground ready. And then we'll go in and we'll plant.
Right.
Like if we're doing spring wheat or soybeans or corn or cotton or milo or whatever.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
We'll go through and do the plan. And a lot of times, you know, we would go to the place where we'd buy our seed, and they would be like, hey, there's a new crossbreed that's out this year that's supposed to be better at such and such, or it's supposed to be better at
more hardy,
right?
Dryness, whatever.
Right. It's for drier conditions, or it works better because we have wet springs, yeah. Or, you know, whatever. Or if you have a low spot out in your field, you know, that holds water, this particular seed will work better. So, when I read this parable about a man that sowed good seed in his field, he's obviously invested in something that is going to be worthwhile for the harvest that he is planting in the fall.
Yeah.
So he has put effort into coming up with good seed. He's put effort into making sure that this seed is right for what the application that he's using.
Yeah.
Right? And how many times in our lives, and this is a blanket question, okay? How many times in our life have we just been bulling the china shop to get a solution from God instead of spending time to make sure that we're asking the right question of God?
I fear that it's a lot.
It's more than what we, yeah.
It's more than what it should be.
Exactly.
Right. And I think, you know, when I read this parable, I think of, like, you know, we go to the mission,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We both have done a ton of recovery ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we go to homeless camps.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the motorcycle community.
Right,
right,
right.
Not all good people.
No. No.
A lot of weeds.
A lot of weeds.
But God's saying, don't throw those weeds away.
Right.
I'll sort them out later. It ain't your job.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's the end result. Yeah, yeah. I'll sort them out later.
But how often do we want to do the sorting?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How often do we want to do the sorting?
Mm-hmm.
And when we want to do the sorting, do we think we know better than God?
Or that we've been marshalized by God to do it?
I think some people believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got some hellfire and brimstone preachers that believe, you know,
mm-hmm.
bam. You're gone.
You're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me elaborate on that just a little bit.
Okay.
Right? How do we know when we condemn somebody or when someone is condemned like that from a hellfire and brimstone preacher? Now, I'm not saying that there's not a time for there to be hellfire and brimstone preaching.
Well, look,
okay.
If you've read Revelation, hellfire and brimstone's coming.
Coming.
Right? It's coming.
It's coming.
But at the same time, God said, I love you.
Right? Yeah.
Jesus said, love God, love, you know, with all your heart.
Exactly.
Love your enemies just like it was yourself.
Just
right?
Like yourself.
That's what this is about, right? Love God, love people. That's what we say.
Right, right. And now,
can you love somebody and condemn them?
It's not my job to condemn.
I agree.
It's not my job.
I agree.
Because I don't know what God's going to do in that person's life later on.
That's right. But isn't that what he's saying here? It's not your job. Let them grow together.
Yeah. It's exactly what he's saying.
Right? Let them grow together.
Right.
We'll figure it out.
We'll sort it out later. I'll sort it out later. Right. I'll instruct those reapers, those harvesters.
Right. My warrior's coming with me.
Right. Right. So when we there's so many different paths to go with that with that mindset of the hellfire and brimstone.
I know there is. But you know, there's a ton of people who I think, you know, we've talked about church hurt. I think there's a ton of people who hear that hellfire and brimstone message.
Mm-hmm.
Not, hey, it's not your job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They hear that pastor just spewing negativity from the pulpit.
Right.
And you know, unfortunately, that preacher's doing more damage to the kingdom. Sometimes, right?
To spew that negativity only?
Only, yeah. Because I've heard pastors that week after week after week, it's just 100%. You're a sinner. You're going to hell.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Get up here and repent right now, and if you don't, it's over.
Right.
And they just make you feel worthless.
But those kind of people, though, Rick, are only looking for numbers of salvation so that they can put up on the board
as
you walk into the church and go, last week there were 13 people that were saved in this congregation.
Yeah, I agree. But that's why I think it's important for this parable for people to understand. It's not, I shouldn't be. It's not my responsibility to pull that weed.
I got you.
Right?
I got
it's you. Not my responsibility to condemn somebody.
Is that falling again?
It is, but it's on my hand, so it's good right now.
Okay.
It's not my responsibility to do that. My responsibility is to just live with you and love you.
Well,
now, I'm supposed to one-on-one tell you, like, hey, what you're doing is wrong.
Okay.
Right?
I'm with you there.
Right? We talked about the plank.
We did.
Right?
We talked about the plank and the speck.
Right? And it's my responsibility to not judge them, but it's my responsibility to go to them one-on-one in love.
Right.
Hey, here's a problem.
Right.
Right? And if that doesn't work, go two-on-one. If that doesn't work, take it to the church type of thing, right?
Right.
But to say, you're going to hell. Is that my job?
Okay. Let's split a hair here.
Okay.
Okay. Let me.
You know what I love about this is we're probably not going to agree, and that's okay.
No. We probably will.
Okay. Well, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Me telling you that you're going to hell is one thing. If it is a blanket statement of I don't care what you believe, I don't care what you. I caught you doing this, you're going to hell, right?
Yeah, which would be a problem.
Which would be a problem. However, that statement needs to be finished with, if you don't change, the Bible says that this condemns you.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
So that's where I'm going with that statement of, if I just tell you, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, 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 then that's not proclaiming the word.
I would agree with that.
Okay, that's not preaching scripture. That's cherry picking and just condemning.
Yes, it is.
Now, if I say, let's do a little role play here. I'm the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the minister, the reverend, whatever you want to, whatever title of the day it is. And I say, I have seen sin creep into people's lives with XYZ. And what the Bible says about that is if they continue in this sin of XYZ, then without repentance, without that, the ultimate reward for that is hell.
But I think that's saying it in a more appropriate way.
Which should be said.
Right. Than I've heard a lot of times.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Right.
I know exactly where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
So,
but I think that's hurt a lot of people. It's the American Christianity, right?
Right.
So we've talked about it before, that there are people who do damage
mm-hmm.
to to the walk that somebody else may have.
Right.
And it's a shame because this parable says.
Yeah.
And it's not the only place, right, mm-hmm. that talks about how we're just supposed to love people and then they'll be sorted out at the end.
Right.
Right. They're supposed to love God, love people as you would love yourself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But far too often, I think people are convinced that it's their job
mm-hmm.
to save everybody.
Right.
And that's why they tell them, right? I've heard people say, well, I'm only that way because I feel like I'm supposed to save them. You can't save them.
You can't. That's not your job.
You can't save them.
No.
They can only be saved through Christ.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly.
So stop, if you're listening and you know who you are or you've done this.
Yep.
Stop convincing yourself that you're that powerful.
You're not, because you're putting yourself on a level with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you ain't.
That's right.
You ain't.
Yeah.
My mom would reprimand me heavily for that, for using the word ain't.
Ain't?
My mom is a retired high school English teacher.
So ain't is not in your vocabulary?
Ain't, well.
It is, but it's not supposed to be.
It is, but it ain't supposed to be. I love you, Mom.
Yeah, it's a good
day. Yeah, it's a good
day. It's a good day in the neighborhood.
It's a really good day. But yeah, getting back to your point, though, with the damage that has been done.
Yeah.
And because of that damage, it's a ripple effect. Like you throw a pebble into a steel pond and you watch the ripples go out to the edge.
Yeah.
And you see things. You know, you see that effect as it's going out to the edge, and it won't stop until it gets to a breaking point.
That's right.
And so people hurl those kind of things out in a church congregation, and those things get out of those four walls, which they really should. Mm-hmm. But those hurtful things that encompass just someone browbeating someone about going to hell, going to hell, going to hell, going to hell, ends up, the ripple effect with that ends up with why would I want to be involved in that church? And then every single church gets enveloped into the category of all you do is browbeat.
Not, wait, absolutely.
Hold a minute. You know, so let me defend.
Everybody gets categorized by that same
they
one,
do right? And the bad thing about that is because of that categorization that happens with, we're struggling with technical difficulties,
there we go,
we're back, because of that categorization of all churches, all Christians, you know, that representation goes preceding people so that people are already closed-minded, and you're a Christian. I'm not listening.
That's right. It's hard to overcome.
It's devastating to overcome.
It's hard to overcome when people are so afraid to be condemned,
mm-hmm.
so afraid to be judged.
So the spectrum has gone to the other side of it.
Yeah.
He's texting me. Oh. The spectrum has gone to the other side of just to feel good, live your best life today.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And unfortunately, that's a false gospel.
Absolutely.
That's a false narrative
yeah.
of what the gospel should be.
Absolutely.
Now.
My truth and your truth and that truth. And
no, the truth.
The truth. The word of
the
God.
The truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you said we're going to end up just disagreeing on this, I told you.
I know one of these days we're going to disagree on something.
Probably. It's coming.
Yeah.
Maybe next week, folks. Listen up.
Could be. So, you know, we don't have to, like, you know, we've done a lot of these podcasts, and, you know, some of them go 30, 40, 50 minutes, hour.
Right.
We'll go as long as it needs to go, right?
Right.
But on this one, I don't know if it needs to go much longer than it's okay.
Yeah.
Right. And hey, you know, the beautiful thing is that you might be a weed today.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stay that.
That's right. You're not going to, you may be wheat tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's a cool thing. Here's an example I was thinking of when we were talking about that.
Okay.
You know, you see these lush, beautiful lawns.
Yes.
Sod. You know,
amazing. Of my dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because my lawn does not look that way.
Mine doesn't either. I've got two dogs, first of all.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the fall, when the leaves start to fall, you really have to pick your steps carefully.
Yeah, you do.
You know?
I'm right there with you.
So, here's my thing. All these lush, beautiful yards, and a dandelion pops up.
Yeah.
And what's the first thing somebody does? They go out there with that little sticker thing and get that out of here.
That's right. That's right.
Because we don't want dandelions popping up all over the place.
Got to get it before it blows its seed everywhere.
Exactly. Do you know what the medicinal benefits of a dandelion are?
A lot, actually.
Yeah.
Linda has talked about it, like dandelion root and dandelion tea and all these different things, right?
Anxiety, gut health.
Yeah.
Immune
health. Absolutely, yeah.
And here is a weed, folks, that's good.
That's right.
That's good.
And there's probably a lot of weeds that are good.
There are.
Right? I don't know what they're called.
But. Poison ivy ain't one of them. But
no, it's not.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
Is that technically a weed, though?
It's a plant, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
It's a bad plant.
It's a bad plant, whatever it is. Yeah. But here's my point. Even though something is considered a weed, the benefit properties of that weed are amazing.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that.
Now let's correlate that into our conversation now.
Okay.
You have this church, right? Great people in this church.
That's right.
There's all these, I don't want to say Billy Graham Juniors, but there's all these people who are using the gifts that we talked about in an earlier podcast.
Yep.
Using those gifts, turning them into talents for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Right? And in walks an ex-con who is a recovering drug addict who has been in recovery for a year, let's say. Right? And the way that the first time he comes in the door, and everybody's like, whoo,
yeah,
all eyes on him, right? It's
been there.
And the very first thing, the very first impression that they have of him is bad weed.
Mm. Right? Yeah, no, you're right.
But this guy that comes in, because he's an ex-con, has spent 15 years with 23 hours a day where he's working on his physical body and his spiritual mind.
Yeah.
So that he's been in the Word for the last 15 years. Yeah. Or this drug addict that's just come out that is so on fire, but we see bad weed.
Yeah.
We see, or this church sees, that doesn't go in my lawn.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing here?
Right.
Yeah.
So the spiritual benefits that these two people can bring into this kind of congregation.
Yeah. It's amazing the benefit they can bring, right? I think we overlook it because they can reach a set of people that nobody else in there can.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And that's using – we talked about this. Like, that's using your ability.
That's using your ability. Right.
We talked about that during the talents, but that's them using their ability that God gave them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The way that they know how, the way that they can.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether they're a weed. I like the dandelion analogy, right? It is a weed.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a lot of benefits.
A lot of benefits.
Right? That people don't know. If you don't know, you should go look it up. But,
yeah,
you know, so be a dandelion.
Be a dandelion. How do I get that out of a weed parable? If you've got to be a weed, be a
gotta
dandelion.
Be a weed, be a dandelion.
That's great. Hey, y'all, this is Rob and Rick and the Nomad Pastor Podcast, and we just want to remind you to love God.
And love people.